Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to the book of Daniel tonight. Daniel chapter 10 is where we're going to be going, and I'm going to do something a little bit different tonight. I'm going to read to you an expanded translation by Dr. Reynold Showers. Dr. Showers, for many, many years, was the Hebrew teacher at the Philadelphia College of the Bible, taught there for many, many years, and then became the resident a theologian at the Friends of Israel ministry up in New Jersey, passed away a few years ago. But he wrote a commentary called The Most High God on the book of Daniel, and he did his own Old Testament Hebrew translation. And he brings out some very good things that sometimes we don't always see evidently in the text. And I'm going to read to you as you follow along in your Bible. I'm going to read the entire chapter from his translation. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar, and the message was true and one of great conflict. But he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all, until the entire 3 weeks were completed. And on the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girdled with a belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body also like beryl, his face had the appearance of lightning, his eyes were like flaming torches, his arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw the great vision, yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said unto me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I am about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, Do not be afraid, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision pertains to the days yet future. And when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And behold, one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said to him who was standing before me, O my Lord, as a result of the vision, anguish has come upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me. Then this one, with human appearance, touched me again and strengthened me. And he said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength and said, May my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I am going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. Yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius, this is verse 1 of chapter 11, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I arose to be an encouragement and protection for him. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd open our hearts to receive your word tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In chapters 8 and 9, there was a vision that was given to Daniel, and Daniel did not fully understand. This would turn out to be his last vision that he received on this earth, the last revelation. And so he began to ask God that he might have understanding of what this vision, this revelation was. And it went on for weeks, this consistent prayer request. 3 weeks. And at the end of 3 weeks, an angel appears to him. He goes into a deep sleep, and the understanding is revealed for this particular revelation. But there's a backstory that I think is important for us to understand. The angel reveals to Daniel that he's been embroiled in a battle, a fight. He was bringing the answer to his question, the revelation, understanding of this particular vision. He was bringing that from God, but he was entangled in a battle with what is known as the Prince of Persia. And in that battle, he was struggling for 3 weeks, 21 days, we're told specifically. When he arrived at Daniel, he gave the vision and understanding. And then did you note at the very end, he says what? I must return and fight against the Prince of Persia. I've got to go back. I must fight with him. As I have read this passage over the years, it's been such an instructive passage to me about prayer, but also an understanding of what's going on outside of our knowledge. Do you realize the struggles and the conflicts that are going on in the spirit world right this very minute? Answers to prayer delayed because of the hateful despising and fighting of Satan in the delivery of those answers to prayer. We get a little glimpse of this in the life of Job, where Satan goes to God and he said, let me have Job for a little while. I'll get him to curse you. I'll get him to turn against you. And so God said, all right, I'll let you have my servant. Don't kill him. Don't take his life. And the horrible things that happened to Job, totally out of his understanding. Dear God, why are these things happening? Why have I lost all my children? Why have I lost all my possessions? My own wife wants me to curse thee and die. What was going on? There was a spirit war that was taking place. And the book of Job is an unfolding of the influence of Satan on friends and their conversations with Job. Well-meaning friends, but yet the whole purpose behind it was to get him to curse his God. I want us to learn something tonight when it comes to this matter of prayer about the invisible battle that's taking place. Do you realize tonight that there's an invisible battle taking place for your children? Satan wants to have every one of them. I've had some conversations in recent days with individuals who have told me that they sense what's happening today as a work of Satan. I was speaking to a gentleman on Wednesday. I ran into him somewhere in downtown. I think it was at the post office. I was coming out, he was coming in. We got into a conversation and we were talking about the end times. And he said, Pastor Todd, do you sense the devil ratcheting things up? And I said, brother, I not only sense it, I know it. The things that are happening, we are speeding rapidly to a revelation, the revelation of Antichrist. But beyond that, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ when he comes back to this earth and he's going to make everything right and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. We are moving. And because Satan knows what's on God's calendar, that it's coming soon, what's he doing? He's turning up the heat. He's turning up the heat. And I'm going to tell you something, Christian. Don't blow this off as like, well, that's just your opinion. This is real. The work of Satan is real. And his minions, demonic activity, is geared in the spirit world, in the darkness, to disrupt your prayer life. Do you understand that? What does that mean? It means that when you get serious about prayer, you can expect something, Christian. You can expect. Now, the devil can't be everywhere at one time. But you can expect that he's not going to be happy. And where does he target his energies? Oh, yes, he's working on the powers that be, directing them as he wills, because he is the prince and power of the air. He works under God's control. He can only go so far. But he is offended when Christians get serious about the Christian walk. I wonder how serious we really are. We live in a day and age of unseriousness. I've said this many, many times. We're unserious about so many things. We don't need to be so serious. We don't need to get uptight. I had somebody, we were talking about this this morning before church. I had somebody that said, "Todd, you just wear your socks too tight." We had a confrontation. "You just wear your socks too tight." And I said, "Well, they're from Walmart. And my experience with Walmart socks is they don't stay up. They slide down." How many of you men know what I'm talking about? You know what? In a man's life, this is just a tidbit, all right, on Mother's Day. In a man's life, we spend a third of our life pulling our socks up, all right? Another third sleeping and another third trying to sleep, all right? So that takes care of our whole life as men. But getting back to we are so geared in this world to be unserious. Why does Satan want us to be unserious? Because then he's got you where he wants you to be. You become sheeple. You just do whatever he bids. You do whatever the shepherd of the world says to do, because you're not serious about following Christ. You're not serious about following his word. You won't get up and read God's word. You won't take time during the day to study God's word and to pray. That's exactly what he wants you to do. He wants you to be unserious. You know what Daniel did? He got serious about wanting to know the revelation of chapters 8 and 9. And God said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to record this whole interchange of what's happening behind the scenes so my servant Daniel will know, and so that all subsequent generations on this earth will know what is going on." We're also told this in Ephesians chapter 6. Would you turn there, please, for just a moment? Ephesians chapter 6, very familiar passage, I'm sure, to all of you. But notice this, please. Verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now, why would he say that? Why would he tell us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might if everything's going to be all right? If everything's going to be easy? Because it's not. That's why. Notice, "Put on the whole armor of God." Why? "That you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods of the devil." That word "wiles" is the word that we could translate "methods." The methods that he uses against Christians. God told us to put our armor on because our enemy is going to try to take us down. Do we really believe that? Is he going to take down somebody that doesn't have their armor on? No, he's already got them, thank you. Somebody whose sword is rusty, somebody that hasn't got their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, somebody that hasn't picked up the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, is sitting over in the corner. He's already got you. But when you put the armor on, that signals that we've got a soldier that's ready to go to battle. And that's going to perk up the attention of whom? Satan. Satan. Notice what else he says. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places or heavenly places. Now, folks, this is real. This is real. You don't hear a lot about this today because most people aren't thinking about that. They're just thinking about what they're going to do tomorrow, what we're going to have for supper tonight when we get home. You got to see the last edition of Hallmark Channel, Wind Calls the Heart. Pastor Brannon, can you dismiss a little early tonight? Yeah. That's how we are geared to think in this world, are we not? That's how we're geared to think. Oh, we got to go get this done. We got to go that done. We got to go play this. We got to go play that. Stop for just a moment and realize the devil's already working in your behalf and he's getting a win. He's putting a W by you because you're not thinking seriously. You're not thinking. Now, I'm not saying that we walk around with a scowl on our face. I disagree with those that walk around in a minor key. Their whole life's a minor key. Everybody know what I mean by a minor key? Sad, somber. Some people are professional minor key people. You know, oh, we're living in the apostasy. Oh! No, we have a victor. We're in Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that I don't get serious about the battle that I'm in. That doesn't mean that I don't get serious about my children and my grandchildren. You see where I'm going with this? Just because we don't want to be over here in the minor key doesn't mean that we're over here fiddling while Rome burns either. This is my point. Daniel got serious with God. Lord, I need to know what the understanding of this revelation is. And God said, all right, I'm going to let you in on what's going on out in the spaces of heaven, what's happening in this room right now, the battle that's going on maybe for your attention. It's that simple. I've seen God bring roaches in here. Not God, the devil. I blame that on the Lord. Sorry about that. I've seen Him bring flies in, and they'll fly around. I've had them sit up here at the pulpit the whole time, pestering me. And I've prayed, Lord, kill him. And if you don't get him, I'm going to get him. Yeah. Distraction. To keep you from getting what? Perhaps there's a young person here that hasn't been serious about their soul. Maybe there's somebody here that just said, this is just stuff that I push off to later on. Who told you that you have a later on? Who told you that? The devil did. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In other words, don't wait. Get serious about it right now. That's what the Bible says. Stand therefore, verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to do what? To quench the fiery darts of whom? Yeah. Called the wicked one here. The wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Did you get the connection immediately from the armor, soldierhood, to doing what? Praying. That's exactly what we have with Daniel. That's what we have with Daniel. You see, folks, the devil fights those who get serious about the faith. Get serious about living out their faith. Have you understood why some people it takes so long to get them to come to Christ? Maybe it's because we weren't serious about it ourselves. And they see what they're not serious about walking with the Lord. They're not serious about their faith. They're not serious about that. Why should I be serious? Do I hear an amen? Think about that for just a moment. I got convicted in college. There was a friend of mine that I was concerned about. He was actually my supervisor there at the university, going through marital problems, having all kinds of issues. And he asked one time after work, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, I was ready to go back to the dormitory, and he said, "Todd, would you pray with me? I'm having some real problems at home. We want to have children so bad. We've been married for 10 years, no children. We can't afford to adopt at this particular time, and it's become a major wedge in our marriage. I'm just a college student. And I said, I'll be glad to pray with you. The Lord got a hold of me that night. This man was going through a very serious time, and he asked me to get serious with him. Do you have any friends that can do that with you? They can come to you and know that you'll get serious about their need and that you'll pray with them about that? Or do they avoid you and go to somebody else because they know you're not very serious about it?" I'm just talking out tonight because I think it's a time we're living in the age of seriousness. Everybody was so enamored. 4 years of Trump. How quickly that went away. Folks, we're facing some things. And you know who's behind it? It's the devil. The devil is behind it. And the focus is on Christians. And those that aren't serious are going to be the ones that he's not going to mess with. He's going to come after the ones that are serious about their faith. Daniel was serious about his faith. And so God revealed to him, said, "You know what happened? I'm going to let my angel tell. Angel, you tell him what happened. I've been fighting against the prince of Persia for 21 days. And what was I carrying that whole time? The answer to your prayer request. How about that? You mean that the devil didn't want me to understand and know the revelation of chapters 8 and 9? That's right, Daniel. He didn't want you to know, and I've been fighting him ever since. But now I'm here to give it to you so you can have understanding. And then, at the very end of this chapter, he says to him, verse 20, "Then he said, 'Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince.'" Michael is the archangel of Israel. God put Michael over Israel. Your prince, he says. This is a picture that's often mentioned in the Bible. But I want you to see here, he said, "Whenever I leave you, Daniel, I'm going back to fight in the netherworld and deal with Satan, and deal with the prince of Persia, and deal with those who are the enemies of believers like you, Daniel. I'm going to fight." Now, if it's serious business in the heavenlies, what kind of business should it be down here? It ought to be serious business. I've just spoken from my heart tonight because I want to encourage you and me. We've got a lot of prayer requests. My list is expanded. I've got slips of paper with prayer requests that people have handed me, and I'll get them on my master list, and sometimes I just keep them up in the front of the Bible. If it's something that's really urgent, I'll keep them right up here in the front of my Bible so I can quickly refer to it and remember them during the daytime. As a soldier of Jesus Christ, get your armor on. Pick up your shield and pick up your sword. Because if you're going to pray, you're going to have to fight. Did you hear me? If you're going to pray, you're going to have to fight. And you better have your armor on, and you better have your shield of faith. Because if not, those fiery darts are going to make it into your heart, and you're going to start doubting your God, whether He can deliver, whether He can heal, whether He can take care of this situation. You're going to doubt, and then you're going to get unserious. This matter of prayer, folks, is a battle. It's an invisible battle. But it still requires for you to be ready to fight. Ready to fight. I shared with you, I think it was a week ago Sunday, about a man that had gone to fight in the Korean War. I mean, remember that illustration of the gentleman? Message was sent back that he was dead. Okay? But he was very much alive. He spent 2.5 years in a prison and was tortured. He escaped 3 or 4 times. They found him each time, beat him mercilessly, threw him back in the prison. He lived with the rest of his life with wounds from his fight. He told his son in the interview, and this is something I didn't get to last week, but he told his son in an interview, he said, "Whenever I signed up to go fight for the United States of America, I signed up to fight with every part of my being." Some of my friends there in the prison said, "Don't escape. They're just going to, if they catch you, they're going to end up killing you." And he said, "I've got to get out so I can tell our nation where we are. We've got troops that are here in China that are being held during this war. I got to get out and tell them." He said, "When I signed up to fight, I signed up to fight with every fiber of my being, even if it meant the loss of my what? My life." He said, "Daddy," he said, "I've known you all my life." He said, "You've never told that story." And he said, "I know, son. I know." He said, "It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing for me to think back on. I escaped 3 times, and 3 times I was terribly beaten, laying on the floor for weeks, broken bones." He had a distinctive limp when he came back to the United States, dragging 1 foot that he lived with for the rest of his life, because he took soldiering seriously. He took soldiering seriously. And if there's ever a time, Christian, for you to take soldiering seriously, it's right now. Would you bow your head, please? Close your eyes. Father in heaven, You've laid this message upon my heart because I believe it's needed. It's needed in my own heart and life. Lord, to get serious about soldiering means I got to put my weaponry on. I've got to put my protection on that You provided. And I've got to get to prayer. There's an invisible battle that I've got to enter into. I don't always know what's on the other side. The delays and answers to prayer, sometimes years of battling in prayer to get an answer from Thee. Help us to understand what's going on. The devil, his demons, they do not want us to be serious. They want us to look at Christianity as something to play around with. Just be a Christian in name only. But Lord, You've called us to fight, and we need to take it seriously. Father, we've got precious children and young people in this church, and the devil wants to have every one of them. He wants to steer their soul on to hell, and he'll do whatever he can to make that happen. Except for the interceding and teaching of Christian parents and grandparents who will stand up and fight against Satan and pray with all their might that their children will be saved and go with them to heaven. Lord, that means a battle is going to have to be fought. And I pray that You would raise up some serious soldiers in these days that'll take the truth of Daniel, who was serious to know what the revelation entailed and what it meant, got serious in prayer, but it stirred up the enemy, caused a fight to go on in the heavenlies in the delivery of his prayer requests. Dear Father, You've told us this is real, this happens. And I pray that we might be serious in our prayer as we seek to lead our children to Thee, as we seek to lead other people's children and other friends and family members and those that we live with in our neighborhoods that need to know Jesus. Help us, dear Father, to put aside our selfishness and to put on our suit of armor and get busy. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.